Welcome to the Inclusion First Podcast, where we amplify the stories of regular people practicing anti-racism in their everyday lives. Every single one of us has the ability to create real and meaningful change right where we are. I'm your host, Carrie Sawyer, and I've got the stories to prove it. I can't wait to introduce you to these people, these change leaders, people who saw a need and decided to take action. To me, this is so inspiring, showing the powerful idea of everyday activism. I hope that you take away at least some small inspiration and use it to act and create more good in your world too. Let's get started, y'all. Hello and welcome to the Inclusion First Podcast. I am so excited that you're here and can't wait to jump into our conversation today. We have another amazing guest and we're going to have a really fun conversation. I always have a great time talking with my friend Julius, and today is not going to be any different than that. So let me go ahead and introduce you to him. Now, Julius Alejandro is the founder and project director of Village Up. Village Up is a collaborative initiative to increase diversity and access to the San Diego startup tech ecosystem. This is a brainchild of Julius, and so we'll get to hear the story of how this came to be. Now, he has over 10 years of nonprofit experience in operations, programs, and fundraising. He became part of the startup ecosystem in 2016 and has been helping with Startup Week, Convergence, mentoring student founders, and access for our underserved communities. So as you can see, Julius is in the thick of it when it comes to supporting diverse founders, when it comes to startup ecosystems, and he has a huge passion for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I am so excited to share his thoughts, his perspectives, and his journey with you today. Hello, Julius. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Carrie. Thank you for inviting me.
I am super excited to have this conversation with you. We came into contact with each other through Village Up and everything that that amazing program is doing for diverse startup founders. I know that we'll definitely hit on that at some point during this journey today. But I'd love to start off by asking you, what does it mean to be an activist in 2021?
Wow, that's a good question. You know what? So you say activist, but I actually identify myself more as a community organizer. Mm-hmm. Because that community organizing, it's really bringing the community together. It's not just a tactical short term by the moment. It, to me, and again, this is my perspective, my experience, community organizing is long-term and it's stakeholder relationship. It's doing the systemic work. So I classify myself as a community organizer. That's actually my start. That's how I got into fighting for diversity, equity, inclusion. I still remember 2005,
So what is that story, 2005? How did all the magic that is Julius start?
So I still remember, I was in college. I was in college, and I was exec VP. Then I was the AS president of the student government. So I knew bureaucratic. I knew bureaucracy, and I was good at it. And I always thought, okay, I'm going to be a bureaucrat, because somehow – I thought this was the coolest thing, flow charts and all that stuff. I understood it and it was art to me. And I was like, okay. And actually at that time, there was a Filipino organization there called Pakikisa. And straight up, I didn't attend that meeting. I wasn't like the typical Filipino would immediately got involved with the Filipino org. I actually went to student government and actually I was uncomfortable. Because I was uncomfortable with myself, especially my identity, being Filipino American and Asian American. So I was friendly to them and, they supported me in my campaign. And what happened was it was the George W. Bush era No Child Left Behind tax, which threatened Filipino language classes in the state of California for K-12. And they actually approached me I remember they went to my office and were like, hey, this was going on. And I'm just like, whoa, what was going on? And I thought it was like a like internal thing, which was Southwestern College. And it wasn't. It was like, they told me to stay. And I'm like, Carrie, I don't know why, but someone compelled me, like, I got to do something. You know, it was just like, I think it was the timing. It's like, you know what? I've been hanging, you know, it's one of those things like, you know, it was growing in me that the community organizing and wanting to do more for my community. And I'm just like, it was actually the Mecha organization there. And this is very unique. Mecha and Southwestern College, they're basically socialists, far left socialists.
Sure.
And it was interesting. It was interesting. I was like, wow, but they were down for their community. And it was inspiring, you know, the things that they were doing, community workshops, things that basically I was doing for my Filipino community. So I was like, you know what? I want to get involved. And that's how I got plugged into the community organizing. I started in the Filipino American community, you know, leading the college section for this statewide bill that passed. But yeah, so that was my humble beginning. That's how I got into community organizing and just like, boom, brought me to where I am.
So you started back in 2005, officially community organizing, and then you never stopped. That's what I'm hearing.
No, wow. You know what? This thing. I was, you know, straight up, I got, you know, burned out, blah, blah, blah. And I took rest periods for months, but never like fully stopped. That itch is always there. It just keeps calling me back. And you know what? It's a mutual calling back. They call me back. Mm-hmm. I respond. So, you know, because it's a choice, right? I could be like, nope, peace. But it was just like something about you. But yeah, wow. Now you put into it. No, I never stopped even till now.
Yeah. So I love how you like looked around your life and you found these ways to get involved. But then you also were looking inside, like you felt this like yearning, this call to like do something, to get involved, to help out the people around you. And that really is a big part of activism, of community organizing, of anti-racism, looking where you are and finding out where you can make that impact. So, all right, now you've got me hooked. Like, I need to know, how did you get from your beginnings in college to like founding an incredible organization like Village Up? Like, what was that journey?
Wow. So
and tell us a little bit about what Village Up is, because I did not do it justice.
Yeah, and, no worries. So let me start at the beginning and then I'll lead up to it. And it'll all make sense for you, the audience. So as a community organizer, I dwelled in everything. I did conferences, like, you know, I did conferences, festivals, educational summits, so forth in the community. And it's all community based. You know, either supported by, you know, 501c3 or just like we straight up just. We just did it, you know, at a bakery shop, a Filipino bakery shop, straight up. So a lot of things were happening. So I remember the first time, you know, when I got involved, okay, like I'm ready. And one of my first mentor in community organizing, you know, mind you, I came from, you know, a student government. So I'm usually dealing with $500 million budget. I know, you know, like I know how budget goes and that stuff. And I straight up with my budget, you know. And I'm thinking like, okay, there should be an account, blah, 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 right?
The official.
And you know what he said to me? Yeah. You know what he said to me? Straight up, how much you got in your pocket? I was like, wait, what? I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought we're trying to save Philippine language class. There should be a budget. There should be a process. You know, during that time, I was so green to the situation. And then I realized, whoa, everything I got used to and comfortable with turn upside down. But they taught me about relationship building, resource management, you know, especially like how those two intangibles work together, how to collaborate with organizations. So in essence, they're teaching me, you know, not just community organizing, but entrepreneurship. And I didn't know about it. To me, it was just like, that's how you get things done. And then just building relationships, so forth. And I understand, and along the way, I expanded not just for a Filipino community, but the APAC community. And professionally, I am on my background is in nonprofit. I work for a nonprofit. So that opened up a whole nother like horizon of understanding systemic racism, economic inequality as a root cause. Because as a nonprofit professional, you know, what I'm dealing with and, you know, what I thought was dealing with was just a Filipino issue is a Black issue, Latinx mm-hmm. issue, and other underserved community. It's all economic and policies. That's when I was like, whoa, mm-hmm. like, this is not just isolated. This is a whole systemic and structural racism and inequalities happening. So, you know, being in the nonprofit really helped because it took community organizing into like, how do you make it formal? You know, how do you make it into like legit, like, you know, 501c3 and all that, you know, like professional, I guess you could call it professional community building with different stakeholders. So all these things I was being taught, you know, I was doing as my quote unquote, you know, nonprofit job and helping communities. But then same time, I was learning. So when I created Village Up is to address the what's called the lack of diversity in the San Diego tech ecosystem and providing access. So how I got into basically in tech was I had a nonprofit from 2013 to 2016, Emerging Leaders Institute. And then it was basically a summer program they pitched to address a social issue. 2016, they talked about like robotics. And I'm like, wait, what? I had no connection. I was like, wait, what? I'm used to like thinking about homelessness, you know, like, you know, saving a music program. Like, yeah, I can connect you with folks if you're interested in actually implementing it. So that year was like, I only knew one tech founder or one tech person, you know? And I'm like, but I got somehow, even to this day, I don't know how, but I was part of the listserv for Startup San Diego when it became an official nonprofit. Like, they did a community call out. And I'm like, okay, like, I heard of Startup, you know, the week, you know, I just heard of it, right? I said, hey, we're meeting downtown. I'm like, wait, I only partying downtown at that time. You know, I was like, why? I never, you know, like, meeting downtown. I never had no meeting downtown. So I went, I stood out. I really stood out as a person, mm-hmm. one of a few people of color. But, you know, I was there. And they were welcoming. You know, they were very welcoming. And I was like, wow.
That's great.
Cool. You know, they were like, hey, you want to join the committee? So I did. And boom, that's how I got involved with Startup San Diego, which was a good vehicle to understand the San Diego tech ecosystem. You know, understanding what venture means, you know, venture capital means, understanding what entrepreneurship, tech, and biotech and all that, you know, and all the terms and trends that are happening. So, and then one thing I realized being part of Startup San Diego at that time was diversity. Lack of diversity. I'm like, whoa, I get it. That's what I'm doing in my daytime job, right? Mm-hmm. But from my perspective, there was no issue. I mean, not issue, but there was no solution. There was no game plan. You know, I'm used to in a nonprofit like a plan of action. You know, some type of report. You know, you to spur those type of action. So I was like, wait, what's going on? Like, we're all talking about it, you know. It's basically white males. They're talking about it. They're saying, oh, yeah, it's white guys. I'm like, okay, good. And
what are we doing?
You know, yeah. I was like, I was waiting for the end, you know, to support whatever they're about to say. And no, there was really none. And, you know, I listened and I'm like, and I said, you know what? In 2020, I basically wrote a LinkedIn article, a thought experiment, actually. If we do this nonprofit model coalition building, introduce it into the San Diego startup tech ecosystem, this could happen. Straight up. It was just a simple thought leader. You know, like, I was just like, you know, being a, you know, totally nerd, like, you know, citing sources and examples, because that's what I love to do. And it was actually Kim, who's one of the co-founders, reach out to me and say, hey, I saw this in my feed, I read it, and can we meet and how can I help you? And I'm like, whoa. I was like, I'm like,
yeah.
Help? What's help? Like, you want to distribute it? You can share it. No, but you meant like, how can we get this going? And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, sure, let's grab coffee. And to be frank, I was thinking of doing this in 2021 this year, even like play around with the idea, not even like started, like, but yeah, so that's kind of like the origin of Village Up.
Wow, that's amazing. And like I said, I'm just really inspired by you just navigating your life in this way and taking these opportunities when you see them to try to create other opportunities for other people who aren't represented in this particular ecosystem, which of course is the San Diego startup ecosystem. But I imagine that San Diego startup ecosystem looks very similar to the other startup ecosystems in other major cities around the US. And so the idea that this could even be like a pilot or something that other ecosystems can use to create diversity within their own, geographical boundaries is super exciting.
Yeah, and I think also it's one of those things. So my bachelor's is sociology, and and I've been hearing, and it's like we have a diversity problem, right? Diversity problem. And to me, it's always I was taught, to treat like the strange, the familiar being strange. Basically take what we're, where we're everyone accepts and treat it as strange, which means it's an invitation to explore. Because okay, we're saying we have a diversity problem, but I'm like, where are the facts? Like straight up, like the most basic, where are the facts for San Diego? And that's where, I have a master's and being in a master's program, I can't get rid of the just the methodology of like how to research and everything. It's just ingrained in me. It's been trained in me. Ah, it's my capstone. Oh my gosh. But and I researched and I realized, wow, these are the facts. Like yes, what we're saying is true. But in regards to like San Diego, I was like, wait a minute, there's no de that I could find there's no de demographic survey of startup founders. And I'm like, wait a minute. So that's the academic part of me, right? The nonprofit side is you do know policy, told myself, policy runs this thing, right? If you create a report, so you can show people evidence. It was just like, and then I just went like deep, like nonprofit model, blah, 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 policies, it just things where I seen the experience, like, oh, there is a way. So I saw how everything's interconnected. I just saw it and I'm like, well, it's not, it can't be just me, it has to be the community. We need to get like supporters. That's why, we need partnerships and so forth. So all these things, like I knew how it works and I seen it, I experienced it, and I helped coordinate it. Just made sense. Like I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. Especially during the pandemic. I was like, you know what? And Carrie, you were one of the actually one of the first people I consulted with this crazy idea, remember?
Yeah, I do remember. That was awesome. I love talking about anything related to diversity, equity, inclusion, and I also love being a brainstorming partner
Yeah.
for new and novel and innovative ideas when it comes to how we can actually create change that is sustainable, that is scalable, and that has a really big impact. So I was on board immediately when hearing.
Yeah. And actually I one of your first advice to me I really took, you said be good at one thing. 'Cause I was like thinking like, let me do this, programs, all that stuff. And you said, no, you keep drilling into me like, we need to be one thing, good at one thing. And I'm like, okay, I really took that. And I was like, the report. We need to use a report. We need to be good at doing a report and bringing it out there. So I want to thank you for that, Carrie. You actually inspired that. That's why, you saw those emails from me to the collaborative, like, we need this report. Please do the report.
That's
Send
awesome.
the survey out, because just remember the report.
No, totally. That definitely came directly from my own struggles and a journey as an entrepreneur and trying to figure out what the heck I needed to focus on and noticing I was probably focusing on 10 things. I'm like, okay, Julius, what I know not to do is
Right.
this.
Woo.
So,
You would have saved me time. I'd be like, man, oh, what are you doing? Like, we got 10 programs. You know, like, no.
Uh-huh. Exactly. It starts to, and it's easier to do that stuff when you're, once you've done one thing well, then you can start to branch out and do another thing well and another thing well. But if you start off trying to do all these things, like, you don't get very far in any of them. And that luckily was something that I've been rectifying to focus in.
Right.
But I'm glad that that was, that was helpful. So Julius, this, this next question. So what would you say is like the most important thing that you have learned about community organizing that you could share with our audience, people who are trying to figure out how they can make an impact? What advice would you give them?
Of the many things, it's so Shrip, this has been like, you know, kind of like kind of overplayed, but it's true, but being authentic, you know, like, really, and not, I'm not saying it for like, you know, just for, you know, just for just the hype of it. It's becoming a buzzword in my opinion, but showing up and acting and living it, you know, because people will see, like, seriously, people know someone's BS or like, oh, question you. But if you say it, if you act upon it, and if you get hurt by it, ooh, especially in Burton, like, knowing, like, man, like, you know, they've been through stuff, but they're still doing what they're saying. That is so important, you know. With Emerging Leaders Institute, you know, it was like, I went to people like, hey, I got this thing. I want to help, like, you know, college kids of color with their career paths. Just an idea. Oh, by the way, I need your facilities at night. It's like, what? Who is this guy? But you know what they did? Because, like, they saw, like, I was serious, you know, like, my passion and consistent. Also, my trust, too. Yeah. Like, when they straight up give me the keys, I'm like, cool, bring it back tomorrow morning. Straight up. And I'm like, wow. And I understand what that means. Like, well, they're giving me literally the keys to the building, literally, at night, with, like, X amount of college kids. Who does that? You know, for this leadership program. But, you know.
Right.
You know, that's one thing I you know, you have to be authentic, get to display because who you are. Because I remember when it was co-working space in downtown. I emailed them and talked to the manager and say, hey, and no relationship, didn't know me, but I just that pitch said, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll have one of my staff, you know, stay for you. I'm like, wow. You know what I did? I immediately drove there. Like, literally, like, after we spoke, I immediately drove there. Just say, hey, my name is Jules. We spoke. I just want to thank you. And I could tell he was tripping out. Like, wait, what? Like, but, you know, appreciation. But, like, you know, it was just like, wait, whoa. Like, for real? Like, you know, yeah. Tim's like, but to me, it has to mean something, you know? Like, just to show who I am and how much, you know, what I represent at that time. Like, no. This means so much to me that I'm willing to drive here and like, thank you, you know? Yeah, simple as that, you know? So it's really being authentic and being consistent on different fronts, especially when like, you know, when I say you get hurt, like you get criticized, you get, you know, get played, like, you know, even that is part of the being authentic experience. If you could weather through that and still be the same, talk and fight the same, seriously, people will be like, respect you and understand, like, okay, I want to help.
Yeah, they know that you're serious. And so investing their own resources and time and trust becomes a lot more easier with someone who is showing up authentically in the space. I get that. Okay, so what I want to talk about next is really the moment when you started to have the idea for Village Up and like how that came to be, because I feel like people might have ideas or they might be afraid that they don't know what to do and they don't know how to figure it out. Like there was something that like sparked in your mind and you tugged on that and that ended up in this whole organization being created. And I'd love to give a little bit of visibility into that process for people who are like, oh, I think I maybe have an idea or how do I find my idea? Because in order for us to address racism, systemic racism, all of these things, like it's going to take every single one of us to look around our lives and find the place and places where we can create an impact. And so I want you to share like what that process was like and how did you find this idea and then see it into being?
I was part of the RISE Fellow, Leadership Fellows Program in 2019.
And Julius, what is RISE again for people who don't know?
Oh, RISE San Diego is a nonprofit that focus on urban leadership and civic engagement. You know, they have a leadership program and a nonprofit training program too. So they help nonprofit and small business. And yeah, and then the flagship is the leadership program. It's an annual program where they take about like 24 individuals that represent of different communities in San Diego, and it's a partnership with USD Souls, you know. For and yeah, it really focuses on leadership, your internal leadership using the adaptive leadership model developed by the Harvard Business School. I was part of the 2019 cohort, and so it focused on leadership, right? Like your leadership. It really focused on your internal leadership. If you're going to focus on your internal leadership and look within, you're going to have to discover things you've been hiding. Things, even the dirty things, you know? Like they want to deal with and hit with just to find that gem in there. And that was basically 2019. I had to deal with that. So basically, I was straight up. I was a coward in regards to my role as a leader. At that time, you know, before, you know, the restructuring, I was the director of convergence. And I was just going to be even in the startup ecosystem, I was coasting. You know, as in, you know, person of a color, you know, Asian male, like, I was coasting. I just had that personality. I was friendly with everyone. I didn't rock the boat. You know, I was kind of like, okay, diversity, cool, whatever. You know, like basically, like, you know, I don't want to be token. I just want to be, you know, I just want to be me. That's it. And not even vocal about it. That's right. My attitude. And I got by. I realized through that program, like, wow, what am I doing? And number two, like, at that time, you know, I was supposed to do convergence for last year before everything changes. It was actually a friend outside of the program, a personal friend, when I was struggling with this. Like, I realized, what am I doing? Like, you know, like, I'm in this position, you know, and I was grabbing to him. And you know what he said to me? He said, Julius, if the person of color is in a leadership position and not talking about diversity, what does that say? Wow. And I was just bored. I was like, I couldn't say anything because that's what at that time I was doing. I didn't talk about diversity. I was just talking about operations, like straight up numbers, facts. I didn't even talk, you know, because I was very uncomfortable, you know, at that time, like of being tokenized, of being seen like, oh, you know, like, you know, oh, color person talking about diversity, you know, like even though I experienced microaggressions in this, you know, ecosystem, it's kind of like, you know, like, wow, what am I doing? And then I realized, you know what, I need to stop. You know, I really need to, I have a responsibility. You know, I realize I'm betraying, by being a coward, I'm betraying my responsibility that I have done since 2005. And the original before the pandemic happened was, okay, you know what? I'm going to make convergence focus on diversity focus because I'm the director. I can do whatever I want. You know? Cool. But then that was really limiting. You know, I was comfortable with like, oh, just a one-time event because every fellow has to do a CAPA community action project. There's something that's systemic, you know, that we do as a community project for as part of, you know, our deliverables. Even, you know, just create a proposal for that year, at least get, you know, get the idea out. So at that time, I was like, okay, I was just, you know, I thought about Village Up, the concept of Village Up. I was like, but then I reverted back to like, oh, okay, I'll just do an event, put some diversity in there, check mark, boom, I'm done. I'm good. You know, did my cap. But then something was, but then again, that didn't feel right. After the program, I realized, you know, and then the pandemic happened and I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I understand, you know, like, you're right. Totally. Like, cool. Let's not do convergence and all that stuff. I totally get it. You know, I talked to Alexa Ray. I said, yeah, I totally get it. You know, but then there's that itch, you know, it was like, I need to do something, you know, I just need to do something. And then it's one of those things, Carrie, it was that itch and just keep growing, growing. And I'm like, next thing I'm meeting with you, you know, next thing I'm like texting like friends, like, yo, I got this crazy, seriously, like, yo, if I do this, and next thing I know, I'm sending out Zoom invites. Like, I kid you not. Like, and I'm like, well, I'm really doing this. Trust me, I did not fully flesh it out. I was just like, I'm doing this. You know, like, yeah. And then, yeah, it started with the small team. Be like, all right, we're going to do this. And I'm just like, whoa, I can't believe it. Boom. So, yeah, I just knew I had to do something in 2020. You know, with everything going on. And we launched during the whole George Floyd, the Black Lives Matter movement, too. So it was a lot of things going on that year. And yeah, it was that itch. I just couldn't, like, it wouldn't go away. You know, it was something my heart, my gut, it was just my soul was telling me, like, you need to do something. And it was just automatic. Yeah, I kid you not. It was like me with you and a couple of people in private and be like, and it wasn't even doubt. It was more like, I'm preparing something. This is going to happen. You know, I just need to talk to someone. So, yeah, I hope that makes sense. The little itch part, because even now I was like, dang, I just, boom, it just happened.
Yeah. And there's something, I mean, your story is super powerful, right? And starting with this realization that you weren't doing anything and that you weren't doing enough, and that as a person of color in a leadership role, you have a responsibility. And I totally get it, because we're just trying to survive. We're trying to, like, take the hits, like, ignore the microaggressions, like, self-preserve, don't get attention brought to us because we're not trying to get chopped, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I totally get it. There are so many valid reasons for keeping your head down as a person of color. But there's also so many reasons for sticking your neck up there, out there, and, you know, making our ancestors proud, creating a way for the people who are coming after us, and for protecting even the people that are in our immediate sphere of influence, right? As a director, like, there's so many opportunities to touch lives, right? Inside your organization, outside your organization, in the partnership. It's just for certain personalities and souls put here, it is too much to not make those steps, right? And it just keeps, like you said, it's an itch. It doesn't go away until you deal with it, because it's like, hello, Julius, you're here. You have this opportunity. You have this what people need, whatever the riches were, whatever that represented, right? And then you just started. And I think that there's so much power in that, because we think that we have to have everything planned out and perfect and all the right resources lined up and all the right people's blessing. And that ends up getting us in this cycle of never starting, versus like, I've got this idea. It feels half over. Let me go ask some questions. Let me go talk to people who I know. Let me go get some introductions and just see where this project takes me. Because when we are on our path, like, the stones, like, fall under our feet, right? Like, you're stepping, you think you're stepping blindly, but the next stone is always there when we're doing something that is important and impactful and helping to make this world a better place. So I don't know that you could have not responded to that itch, but I absolutely commend you for not ignoring it, because I think, you know, sometimes we do.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's really good stuff. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Okay, so last question. For people who are starting to notice that they've got an itch, that something is calling them, but they're uncertain on taking a step to start to move into that space of creating something new or making an impact or helping a group that they're being called to step into, what advice would you give those people who are still at that phase of, like, ignoring the itch? How do they activate themselves?
I'll tell you my process. It starts with, I just write it down. Like, you know, I just late night, super, super late at night, I just write down. And then I just close my laptop. And the next day, I open it and just be like, okay, this is either going to be BS or this is something, you know, it's a feel, you know, like, and, you know, from Village Up Emerging Leaders, I was like, dang, hold on, like, that makes sense. If I, you know, like, if it hits, then you know, because yeah. I think you got to put it on paper. You know, you got to put that, like, whatever is here, you can just write it down, even if it's just, like, big picture, if it resonates with you, because I'm that type of person. I need to visually see it, even writing it and reading it. And I was like, yo, I got
something. Right.
And number two, start talking to people. Your day ones, your close people that know you, and just be like, I got this idea, straight up. I get at me, yes, no, whatever. You know, just like, you know, at least I know they'll provide a critical perspective, and not just like, no. At least I know they're, you know, go to people that will give you that. Well, let's talk about it. Like, you know, let's dissect it, or like, I know you because of this, and you know. And those are two things. And then after those two phases, if the gut's still there, honestly, just do it. Like, straight up. Like, I think one way to challenge yourself or anyone is go to your social media post. I'm doing this. Straight up. You know, put it public. You know, it's like a shot clock. Mm-hmm. Boom. You put it out there. Your name is your name, right? Like, you know, even just an idea.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I think, you know, yeah, sometimes I just do, yeah. Like, and you know, I'll be frank, some of them were failures and some of them were, you know, but to me, I always said, you know what, I'm gonna put it out there, and I don't mind getting blasted for projects that didn't go through, but you know, at least I know some projects went through. But I know if you put it out there and start doing it, like, you know, I'm glad you mentioned it, just do it, you know, don't worry about the details, you know, how the star world is. We'll build the plane while falling down, you know.
I love that. And I love the idea of like putting it out there in a public way. I've done that for myself so many times where I'm like, you know what? I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to make myself accountable by telling people that I'm doing it and use that as a lever to actually make it happen. And I also love what you said about, you know, find your tribe, find your people that you can share your idea with, but be selective about those people. It's not the people who are going to say no or shoot you down, but these are the people who hold space for your crazy ideas. And you know who those people are. And never like, you know, naysay or poo-poo anything that you say, because that's just who they are in your life. So find those people, be like, yo, this is my crazy idea. And they're like, well, tell me more. And even in just that back and forth, it'll help to give you momentum, give you encouragement, flush out things. And it just starts the ball rolling. And that's really all you need at that itch phase, right? You just need the momentum to like start the steps.
Yeah. And if it's like, let's say finding an organization, whatnot, straight up, it starts with, it's like, yo, Carrie, like I'm going to invite you to something, you know, for an idea. You know, if you're one of the stakeholders, like straight up, just put it out there, you know, and hopefully you leverage that relationship because it's you. They know it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'll meet with you. And you're like, dang, I'll meet with someone. Like, dang, I got to get my agenda. You know, like at least my thoughts for this idea push out. But honestly, sometimes I just do that. Like, you know what? Something's going to come out of it. Like, if not, then cool. It's a waste. They got free coffee out of this, you know, pre-Rona.
Right? No, that's awesome. Julius, this conversation has been fantastic. I so appreciate you showing up authentically to talk about this idea of community organizing, activism, anti-racism, and what that looks like in a real person out there in the real world making things happen. So thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, appreciate it.
For people who want to know more about Village Up, know more about you and your story, where can they find you?
For Village Up, we have a LinkedIn. Well, we have an Instagram. It's called Village Up SD. We have a LinkedIn. We have a LinkedIn page, Village Up San Diego. And yeah, and then if you want to connect with me, my you can find me on LinkedIn, Julius Alejandro MS for Master of Science, because, you know, I just assumed that. Yeah,
That's
that
cool.
part.
That's cool.
Mm.
Got those
But then,
receipts.
yeah. But also, Instagram at Jules Alejandro EP, all one word.
Awesome. All right, Julius, thank you so much for being here again. This was awesome.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to the inclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We'd love for you to give us your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review wherever you find us. Thank you so much again for listening, and we will talk to you next time.